We are Enneagram Type 9s. They call us the peacemakers, the mediators, the harmonizers, and even the comfort-seeking, self-forgetting, conflict-avoiding, anger-repressing, people-pleasing, procrastinating, indecisive, stubborn, passive-aggressive, yet undeniably likable sweethearts of the Enneagram. But guess what, 9s? We're so much more than that. I'm Kimberly Eclipse, a trained counselor, everyday mentor, and professional astrologer for peacemakers like you. And this is the Enneagram 9 Show. Hey, what's up, Type 9s? Welcome to a surprise Sunday quickie episode of the Enneagram 9 Show. Well, you know, ever since I started the podcast back up again a couple weeks ago, I've been receiving the sweetest, most generous emails from you guys, just welcoming me back, telling me you hope my job change and my move into a new home went well. You've been sharing how happy you are to have new episodes popping up on your feed. And I just have to sincerely thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to message me like that. I love hearing from you. I love learning all about you from wherever you are in the US or in the world. So please, if you have something to share with me, whether it's a question or a request for an episode on a specific topic that you're interested in, or just a comment, my inbox is open to you. You can email me at hello@kimberlyeclipse.com. Also, interestingly, I've been receiving emails from nines seeking a little bit of advice on their current life situation. And I gotta say, I really appreciate people's vulnerability and openness to share personal things with me, even if it's just something short over email. It's really a privilege to listen and hold space for people, and I don't take that lightly. One of my more recent questions that I received over email was actually the inspiration for today's episode. It was from a woman who wanted advice on her tendency to put her husband's needs, preferences, opinions, and his agendas ahead of her own. And she would do this constantly. This is, a really common tendency among nines that we refer to as merging. And let me tell you guys, I admit that in the past, I have been a master merger. It's still something I struggle with. I will say I've gotten better with it over the last couple of years, especially in my time away from the podcast when I was really like focusing on my own growth and almost nothing else. Like I was really dialed into making some changes. So this topic of merging is really important to me because I've seen in my own life the results of working on this unconscious thing I do. But before I share how I responded to this woman's email when she was looking for advice, let's talk about what merging is. Let's get into it a little bit. So merging is the often unconscious or habitual act of substituting your own needs, preferences, opinions, and agendas with someone else's. It's like a complete substitution. So I'm not even talking about, you know, like, oh, your needs come first when possible. I mean, sometimes it's like an automatic substitution where your needs come first. That's my default mode of operating through life. In fact, I don't even know, I'm not even in touch fully with what my needs are because I'm so focused on yours. And it's so quick. It's so automatic sometimes. The other thing to note is that merging can happen not just with a person, but with a group. So that would look like substituting your own needs with those of a larger group's needs, like your family, your company that you work for, your church, your friend group. And this is especially common among social nines like myself. So I've definitely seen this in action. But merging is basically a blending of energy where nines lose their own sense of individuality and their sense of separateness from others. So why? Why do we do this? We nines want to create the feeling of connection with others. Remember, our basic fear is loss or separation. So it makes sense that we often are willing to do anything to ensure that that loss and separation never happens. Our basic desire is peace of mind, a sense of inner stability and comfort. And oh my gosh, even just saying all that makes me like feel all warm and fuzzy and satisfied on the inside. And you know what? Hey, what is more comforting than knowing that our relationships are strong and stable and there's no major conflict happening that might threaten that, right? So, as a result of our basic desire and our basic fear, we aim to stay small, to be needless, formless, weightless, to basically avoid ourselves. Because if we were to actually pay attention to ourselves, that would cause trouble. That would cause us to have strong preferences, to have limits, to have edges. And this threatens our desire for internal peace and harmony. It threatens our desire to feel comfortable and unaffected. It threatens to rock the boat with people and possibly cause our greatest fear to come true, and that is to be separated from others. All right, so what does merging look like? Merging can manifest in many different ways. So from like subtle adaptations to little white lies to more dramatic and extreme patterns of behavior. So it can look like going along with their opinions and preferences. So, you know, oh, well, I don't really have the time or capacity or desire to do this favor that you asked of me, but I'll definitely do it anyway. No questions asked, because you want me to do it. So consider it done. In the dating world, here's another example. In the dating world, it can look like, well, I'm not that into you, and I feel like I don't want things to continue any further, but I know if I said that, you would be upset. So let's just see what happens if we continue and see how it goes, because I know you really like me, so I don't know, maybe this isn't so bad. Here's another example. It can look like taking on the communication style of another person and kind of mirroring the way that that person speaks, what language or tone they have, kind of as a way of creating a quick, instant sense of connection. So I noticed myself doing this recently. Someone was like, I noticed you've been dropping a lot of F-bombs lately and like cursing a lot lately, and you don't normally do that. And I was like, you know what? I think you're right. And it's because I've been hanging out with this one friend of mine who is constantly dropping F-bombs. And so now I find that I'm doing that too. Another example, let's see. So we merge by constantly tending to someone's emotional needs, even when it's draining for you or if it feels manipulative or toxic. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with having empathy, but once you get to the point where you feel like you're really suffering because you're being so pulled into the drama all the time and there's like no boundary there, that's when you get into trouble. So we do all of this. These are all different examples, and there are many, many more. But we do all of this to fast forward this process of creating connection with people, or to kind of manufacture a seemingly foolproof way of maintaining connection. That is why we overcompensate. That is why we overadjust. That is why it's just way more convenient if we forget ourselves rather than pay attention to ourselves. And that is until we begin to suffer. After we've been dragged through the mud and we finally admit to ourselves that something must be done, that's when we recognize, okay, maybe a change has to happen. And that's basically the place that this woman was in when she emailed me recently about her, you know, the dynamics of her marriage. Now, you know, of course, even though I do have a background in mental health counseling, I am not this person's therapist, the person who emailed me. And so there are limitations to what I could offer in an email response. But it did force me to think about, okay, if I could give one piece of advice to a master merger, a fellow master merger, what would it be? How can I respond here? What would be the most impactful suggestion? Is there a magic bullet for merging? And in my brainstorming, I realized the answer is yes. Yes, there is a magic bullet. And I kind of surprised my own self when I had that decisive moment of saying, yes, there's a magic bullet for merging, even though I don't know this woman's entire situation and I can't work through every piece of it with her through email. I think there's something I can offer her here. To be honest, I kind of feel like there's hardly ever a magic bullet for anything. There's like a silver bullet for if you want to kill a werewolf. That's pretty effective. Definitely go with the silver bullet, you guys, if you ever encounter a werewolf. Don't push your luck with like a copper plated or rubber bullet. That's not gonna work. Never works in the movies. But anyway, all that to say, in a nutshell, I don't believe in magic bullets, but I do kind of think there is one for nines, when it comes to merging. And here it is. If we merge as a way to forget ourselves, then the magic bullet for merging is remembering ourselves. I'm just put to the side for a moment the specific person or the specific group you tend to merge with, because it doesn't really matter who it is that you're merging with. The process is the same. The fear and desire that motivates the merging is the same. We're putting that person aside. Instead, we're focusing on the thing you've been avoiding, which is you. So, like I said, we merge as a way to forget ourselves, and the magic bullet for merging is remembering ourselves. And so then the natural follow-up question then is this: what is the key to remembering ourselves? I think there are actually two keys, two parts to this. So number one is having alone time, carving out alone time. And I mean intentional alone time. Keyword is intentional because I'm not talking about accidental or incidental alone time, like when you're in the shower and you just happen to be alone. That's not really what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about setting time aside for you to be alone, think your thoughts, feel your feelings, and to listen to your inner wisdom or even the voice of a higher power that you feel connected to. What really helps, I find, is alone time in nature, alone time during a walk, alone time during a guided retreat. A physical separation or time apart from the world, but especially, if possible, from those certain people you tend to merge with, and that merging is causing great suffering for you. I do think that a physical separation of some kind is really helpful. Okay. The second key to remembering ourselves, number two. Here I'm talking about tapping into the wisdom and the power of our body. Our body can contain a lot of information that we don't have access to, especially if we are really numb to how we feel, what we're truly thinking or wanting. Sometimes we've just gone so long without checking in with ourselves that we really don't know what our preferences are, or we cannot identify in the moment that we are angry or what we're angry about, or we have difficulty articulating it. So this disconnection from how we are feeling, whether it's anger or sadness, or discontent, frustration, whatever it is, a lot of times we can feel this in our bodies before we can understand it in our minds and articulate it through our mouths. So, for example, I'm a little bit better these days about sensing when I'm angry and articulating it. But just maybe 2 years ago, I really was disconnected from the feeling of anger. I really blocked it out so much. And sometimes I would only know that I was angry if I looked down at my hands and my fists were clenched. Now, there's a second part to this key, this focus on the body. And that has to do with something I discussed with Enneagram-informed therapist Michael Shahan just in our previous episode. So we talked about the ability to feel discomfort or fear or anger in your body and tend to that physical feeling in a helpful way. So What happens is our anxious, fearful, stressful thoughts about, who we might lose a connection to, who we might hurt, who we might make angry. These thoughts cause physical and chemical dysregulation in our body. We have a physical, bodily experience of overwhelm. But if we can sit through that physical discomfort, and we can do this through deep breathing, through walking, getting a drink of water, and this one's kind of unusual, but it's something that works for me. When I'm really upset or when I'm crying, I will stroke and soothe and rub my own arm. It's kind of like what I do when my children are really upset. They're crying, they're very distressed. I'll rub their back or rub their arm. And I'll do the same thing for me when my body is very distressed. But doing this, recognizing the discomfort and the dysregulation, and then soothing ourselves physically, this gives us the power to not be overpowered by the physical sensation of overwhelm. And if you can learn to be with your body, to soothe your body, and watch as the stress leaves your body, then we can get through that difficult conversation that may cause us to feel nervous and may dysregulate us physically. We can then say what we need to say or do what we need to do in any given moment, even if our voice shakes, even if our heart is pounding, even if our neck feels stiff and our muscles are tight and our palms are sweating. We can get through that because it will eventually pass. And the more we practice it, the sooner we'll be able to recognize our physical dysregulation in the moment, and the faster we can then soothe ourselves in those moments when we are putting ourselves out into the world, when we are affecting our environment, affecting other people, when we're creating waves, and when we're speaking our truth. If you are interested in learning more about merging and going beyond the magic bullet, going deeper, if you want to be empowered by some alone time, if you want to be coached around merging from experts in the field, and if you want to grow as a nine alongside other nines, then I invite you to join us for Nines Rising, our virtual retreat for Type Nines. It's coming up on Saturday, May 4th. I cannot begin to explain the impact that this kind of gift to yourself can make. I saw it with my own eyes at our last retreat, and we've made changes to this year's retreat to make it even more impactful, more powerful, and more enjoyable. So the theme for this year's retreat is merging. And we're having an embodiment workshop facilitated by Somatic Enneagram practitioner and teacher Karen Burley. We're going to have live coaching by Enneagram-informed licensed therapist Michael Shahan. And there will be what I call nurture sessions, where you'll do some journaling, have some alone time, meet in small groups with other nines to process the day together. And there will be a bonus session in June, about 1 month after the retreat, where we'll gather virtually again to discuss what happened after the retreat. What happened when we brought our new insights and tools gained at the retreat into the real world and applied it into our real lives? So that'll be a Q&A session taking place with Karen Burley, and the date and time of that June session will be based on the group's availability. And if something happens and you can't make it to these live gatherings despite having purchased your ticket, they will be recorded and sent to you. And to get 25% off the price of your ticket, you can use the discount code podcast25 at checkout. It's podcast25. At checkout. So head to Enneagram9.com to learn more about the retreat and purchase your ticket. That's Enneagram9.com. All right, nines, that's about it for today. Peace out, peacemakers. Hey, Type 9, did you enjoy that episode? If you found it helpful, would you be the best and subscribe to the podcast and leave a rating and review? This really helps with getting the podcast seen by other peacemakers out there. Lastly, if you're looking for Type 9 resources, events, and services, check out Enneagram9.com. It's also where you can find a link to my services as an intuitive counselor and astrologer who works specifically with Type 9s. Again, that's Enneagram9.com. See you there.